Amen. Good morning. It's good to be together, right? And it's good if you're online with us. It's great to be with you too. And I'm just really looking forward to what God has to say to us today as we kind of take some time to open our hearts and listen for the word of the God, of the Lord. So let's pray together to begin this. God, we thank you so much for your love for us, for the word that you still speak to us, words of hope and life. We pray that you'd speak those words to us again today. We love you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have a Bible, I encourage you to go to Matthew chapter 20. We're going to be there today. We're going to be thinking through a parable of Jesus. And these parables we've talked about before are Jesus giving us an image of what the kingdom of God is like. So as we read this, just open your heart to what God might be saying here. This is Matthew 20, verses 1 through 16. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for the usual daily wage, he sent them into his vineyard. When he went out about 9 o'clock, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And he said to them, "You also go into the vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." So they went. When he went out again about noon and about 3 o'clock, he did the same. And about 5 o'clock, he went out and found others standing around. And he said to them, "Why are you standing here idle all day?" And they said to him, "Because no one has hired us." He said to them, "You also go into the vineyard." When evening came, the landowner of the vineyard said to his manager, "Call the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and then going to the first." And when those hired about 5 o'clock came, each of them received the usual daily wage. Now when the first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received the usual daily wage. And when they received it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, "These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat." And he replied to one of them, "Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last, the same as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I am generous? So the last will be first, and the first will be last." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Our society is pretty obsessed with fairness, aren't we? We're fairness is kind of the key to everything for us. If we're pretty much governed by fairness. Now, that is not to say that our government is fair. It's often not, but it's at least how we know the difference, or how we gauge the difference between a good and a bad system, right? If a process or a system is good, that means it's fair. Everybody's pretty much judged by the same standards, whether it's a judicial system or an economic system or an education system, whatever it is, we're not really satisfied unless it's fair, right? This obsession with fairness certainly has its perks, right? It's definitely saved a lot of us from some pretty bad situations, but what it also tends to do is it transforms our relationships into transactional relationships, right? Our society sort of has a "I scratch your back, you scratch mine" sort of mentality. But if you don't scratch my back, you ain't getting nothing from me, right? There's kind of this big picture of everything's a give and take. And we see this in our personal relationships. don't we? If you're married, you might already be keying into some of this, right? That what happens at night in my house, just for an example, is at the end of the day, our routine is that when we've finally gotten the kids to go to bed at about 11:30, we want to stop and suck the last life out of that day to spend some time with each other and watch some TV. That's usually what we do, is we plop on the couch, we eat a snack, and we watch TV. I usually am down just before Amanda is, and so I grab that ice cream or whatever. We have these ice creams in our freezer a lot, these little ice cream sandwiches that we get from this little ice cream shop called Yellow Brick Road. Have you heard of it? You guys, have you been there? Yeah, it's a good place. They have these really good little Oreo ice cream sandwiches, and we get the chocolate kind, and I grab it, and I sit on the couch, and I pig out on my ice cream. And often, the question comes from Amanda when she's there, "Did you get me one?" Right? And I respond with the classic American response, "Get your own." And that doesn't usually end well for me. But that's the way it goes. There's this sense that I have it. I'm tired. I got my own ice cream. I want to sit down and do nothing. Get your own. I worked for this. Which is never true, because she works way harder than I do. So, but the point is, we have this transactional thing going on. I got mine, you get your own. And we see this obsession with fairness in generational relationships, right? We see it in education all the time. You'll hear someone say, "Well, when I was your age," we'll fill in the blank, right? "We had to get up at school and be there by 6 a.m. and we had to hike both ways uphill in the snow with our bare feet, and we had to read 3 books at night every day, and that's just the way it was, and so you should have to deal with that too." It doesn't matter whether it was good, whether it worked, whether it was helpful. Sometimes we just have this sense, "I went through that, so you should have to. It's not fair if you get to skip that part of life." Right? Anybody hear that? Is this out of nowhere? It's real, right? It's in lots of different things. We have this sense that I worked for it and so should someone else. And fairness governs us. Well, we see something different happening in this parable of Jesus. We see that the kingdom of God isn't really governed by fairness. It's governed by something else. Jesus told these parables to describe the kingdom of God. And in this parable, Jesus tells a story about a landowner who hires some workers. And he hires some in the morning and some in the afternoon and some in the evening. And they all get paid the same. Now, of course, these workers who started in the morning are frustrated. They are all of us, right? This isn't fair. It's not fair for the workers who started in the morning, and let's be honest, it's not fair for the landowner, is it? Why should this landowner pay someone more than what they're worth? It's not fair. And if we're governed by fairness, this story is frustrating. But something you got to know about these day laborers, I think it helps to understand what's going on here, that these day laborers were not just kind of working for spending money, right? They lived in a society where if you were not the landowner and you were the laborer, you were dependent on that work. You didn't have, disposable income. You needed that job, and often you needed that work each day to be sure that you'd have food for that day. That was your survival. And so when this landowner goes out and hires these workers, it's not just, you know, giving people a daily wage. It's giving people their dignity. And when he goes out at 5 p.m., an hour before quitting time, and he hires some people to work, and he asks them, "What are you doing here?" What's their answer? "Well, nobody's hired us." You got to hear the desperation in that. Nobody's hired us. I don't really know if my family's going to eat tonight. And the landowner hires them and gives them their dignity and pays them more than what they're worth. What this landowner was doing was more than just hiring workers. He was giving people dignity, and he was making sure they had what they needed. He's offering grace in giving them more than what they deserved. This is worth celebrating. But the other workers can't celebrate it, right? In telling this story, Jesus is describing a world, a society that's governed by grace and not fairness. When we look at the story through the lens of fairness, the way those mourning workers looked at it, we're unable to celebrate the generosity and the beauty that these people got what they needed at the last minute, that we're unable to celebrate that. But when we look through the lens of grace, we can celebrate that desperate people were offered dignity and that their needs were met. In the kingdom of God, the last become first. The first become last. In this economy of grace, those who only see things as I scratch your back, you scratch mine, you get your own, and back when I was your age, they'll find themselves frustrated. But those who are governed by grace will be able to celebrate the generosity of God. We'll be able to celebrate a world where people get what they need, where people are given their dignity. So, how do you respond to God's generosity? Are you able to celebrate someone else's joy, no matter what you had to go through to get yours? Does the idea that God might forgive everybody, even your worst enemy, does that idea frustrate you? As Christians, we celebrate sinners saved by grace because that's what we are. Whenever we think that we're the mourning workers who worked harder than everybody else, what we will discover is that eventually we become the 5 p.m. workers who will not get what we need if we're only given what we deserve. As Christians, we celebrate God's generosity, and we want to extend that same generosity, that same grace to other people. Whether they've scratched our back or not, no matter what they deserve, regardless of what kind of hardship we may have had to endure to receive the same kind of dignity. We as Christians want to be people who reflect not the process, not fairness, but a world governed by grace and love. That's the kingdom of God. Do we want to live in that kingdom? Do we want to live in that kingdom? We do. We do. And we want to be people governed by grace. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your grace in our lives. We thank you for all the moments when we did not get what we deserved, but we got so much more. God, help us to remember that in your kingdom, it's not about fairness. It's about grace. And help us to be the kinds of people who are experts at celebrating the grace that you give. God, we love you. Awaken us to this reality. Awaken us to your kingdom so that from this day, as we leave this space or as we go about our daily lives, we would live in that kingdom. We would be governed by you. Help us, God. Thank you, God. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.